You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. The Super Bowl is set in Minnesota. But the home team will not be there. The Philadelphia Eagles take care of Minnesota in a blowout yesterday. They will face the defending Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots, who go to their eighth Super Bowl of the Brady-Belichick era. They look for win number six, Matt Modica.
Yeah, and I was wrong yesterday. Fly, Eagles, fly. But if it's 5-6 points... If you give me less than a touchdown, I got to take the Patriots. I thought it would be more like the Jacksonville line when it opened up at 9. I mean, Nick Foles, we're going to believe in what happened yesterday. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong again, but I will be trying to smash that 5 or 5.5 line on the Patriots.
Line, as I said earlier on in the program, opened up at 7. Went immediately down to 5.5, as Matt said. I've seen it go up to places at 6. Matt's waiting until it goes down to places at 5. It's fluctuating right now. Well, I'm sure it will settle in at some point today.
Or I'll take wages from Eagle fans.
Corey, my buddy.
I wouldn't trust it.
My buddy yesterday.
All money would have to be sent to Greg Sussman first.
My buddy yesterday, when the Patriots were down in the first half 14-3, he looked at a live bet of the Patriots, and the Patriots were plus 155 down to 14-3.
Wow.
And he hammered.
Yeah, no, I mean, you had to.
Wow.
You
had to. That was good right there.
You knew the Patriots were going to make, even if they wouldn't have won, they were going to make a move.
Yeah, it was a great bet by him.
That's
and
a great bet.
Immediately, Patriots get the ball back. The Brandon Cooks. The Brandon Cooks pass interference happens.
Horrible
score
call.
Touchdown. And my buddy is feeling amazing.
Look, if you were a Jaguars fan yesterday, like even when it was 14-3, you were just like watching the clock.
Oh, yeah, you were waiting.
You were just trying to run that out.
All you cared about.
Yeah.
All you cared about.
I would love somebody to do that to them, though, one time. Just come back on them and make them lose.
That's called the New York Giants.
Yeah. Somebody else. Somebody else.
No. I had read a buddy of mine, Sean Morash, from WFAN. He actually tweeted this out. He said, 2:39 to go. Eli came down, beat the Patriots, Super Bowl 42. 2:42 to go. Blake Bortles lost.
Yep. Blake Bortles facts.
That's a Blake Bortles fact.
It certainly is a Blake Bortles fact right there.
Yeah, I had no confidence in that.
Yesterday, with the hand injury, Tom Brady was 26 of 38 for 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Kind of look like Brady.
Yep.
Although the best thing is when, like, he feels anything, he gets so nervous. Because there was nobody in the pocket, but it was kind of just collapsing. And Brady was like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
They got some savages on that Jacksonville defense.
Now so. They found out had 2 sacks, and all I was thinking of was Corey.
Yep. Darn it.
Yeah.
Wasted opportunity, Jacksonville.
I got to put you in the trunk.
We take a break. More Patriots conversation on the other side.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
So I gave you Brady's stats before the break. And the main beneficiary of Rob Gronkowski going out with that concussion for the entirety of the second half was Brandon Cooks. 6 for 100. I believe there was a 3rd or 4th 100-yard game of the year for Brandon Cooks. 8 targets, of a second on the team. And, of course, the major pass interferences.
Look, I was saying prior to this game, which we've been talking, that year two in the system, I think next year Cooks is going to be one of the better values in drafts. And look, this is a talented receiver. We know what Brady can do. And I was more impressed because I was worried. After that Gronk, we was it Danny Amendola. He can do nothing for weeks. You don't even forget he's on the team. And he comes through. They have guys like Hogan, when healthy, for the first part of the season, played excellent. So it's just moving pieces. They put him in. People step up. Cook's got it done. And I'm not that pass interference call. I was fine with.
Yeah, I was more on Corey's side. I thought for me, like I said, I thought he just played the sideline really, really well. There were hands certainly. I didn't think it was enough sides. To call. I didn't think it was enough to call.
Nah, that. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm disgusted with the Philadelphia Eagles and the New England Patriots. That was a game-changer play right there. But when you look at the options they have in that receiving core moving forward as it's going the next week, their system just works. They just know what they're doing, well-coached, well-prepared, run quarterback-friendly routes. So hopefully the Eagles, I don't know. I don't want Philadelphia to win either.
I know. On the other side of Brandon Cooks was Danny Amendola.
Oh God,
7 receptions, 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He actually led the team in targets with 9. Danny Amendola has stepped up multiple times, Corey. None bigger than yesterday.
Yeah, Danny Amendola, he's one of those players that Tom relies on when it comes to these big moments like this. Amendola not really ever going to be healthy and not really much of an option for fantasy unless everybody else on that team is certain he's healthy, which is likely not going to happen too many times throughout the course of the season. But when you look at what he does, his safety blanket for Tom Brady, big games like this, Danny Amendola is a player that they like to rely on. He's the guy that, you know, was drawing the lesser of the defenders. So, you know, Tom Brady took advantage of that, and shout out to him for doing that.
Yeah, he did. He finds Amendola on the first touchdown in that first half to end the first half. It was like a typical Danny Amendola touchdown. Like, catches it at 2, kind of falls in the end zone. The last one was back of the end zone. You knew the Patriots were going to score there, I think. But
that was a hell of a play.
The throw from Brady was pitch perfect. The feet down was unbelievable by Amendola. That's exactly what I'm saying, Matt. It was just a magnificent play from Brady.
It was like something you expect, like, Julian Edelman to do. And
Gronk to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just getting it done. That's been there before, being a champion. So, look, he was just, if the Jags fans, you had that hope, and you were just like, the clock. The fourth quarter was Patriots, you know. I think if you were a Jags fan, you were expecting the worst. You really, as confident, maybe you were up 14-3, you weren't that confident.
Sure. Deion Lewis, also second in targets yesterday, first in receptions, tied with Danny Amendola. Deion Lewis, 7 receptions for 32 yards. There was a bunch of drop back to pass, double off Deion Lewis. Lewis also led this team in carries with 9 carries. The Patriots, got to give them credit, Corey. Obviously, they won, but like, you give them credit for realizing that first half they couldn't run the ball for crap.
Yeah.
So they just stopped.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're not. They probably came in there knowing they were going to have a tough time running the football,
right,
against that defense. Still able to get Deion Lewis involved. If Deion Lewis is healthy, he's like the go-to guy in this backfield when it comes to running and catching the football. But health is such a thing with Deion Lewis, so you got to kind of limit him to keep him healthy and out there. That's why they run all those backs out there. But now he got the job done. Game plan worked to perfection. Kind of knew this was going to be coming in. They just couldn't. Jacksonville Jaguars, no matter how good their defense was this year, they weren't able to stop it.
Rex Burkhead only had 3 snaps total yesterday. It was, like I said, clear he wasn't healthy. We'll see if he gets there 2 weeks from now.
I don't think they need Burkhead, though.
Well, I think it's clear they don't.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's nice if they have him, but you got White, you got Lewis. You have the piece.
James White in the game in the hurry-up offense. He scores the first rushing touchdown of the game, for the only rushing touchdown of the game for New England. Only reason Deion Lewis didn't get that, because as I said, rush to the line. They're on the 1-yard line, but not on like that 1-inch line for Brady to sneak it in, but on the 1-yard line for them to hand it off to James White, who scored the touchdown.
What does James White have, like 3 touchdowns in the playoffs or something like that? It's crazy.
He always comes alive in the playoffs. I stand by this. He deserved that Super Bowl MVP last year, not Tom Brady.
Devontae Freeman deserved it. But Kyle Shanahan prevented that from happening. But my second choice would have been James White.
I'm regretting. I would have went with James White.
I would have went with James White.
I don't know. I'm watching this pass interference call again. You can't pretty much push the guy out of bounds.
You don't agree, right? Let me see this play out. Let me see that again. All right. So we're watching. We're now watching the pass interference live. Nothing going on yet.
That's a good use of the sideline.
I think
that's
a good use of the sideline.
And then where's the ball at?
You can't put your hands on the guy.
Where's the ball at? The ball is not even in that screen.
It doesn't matter anymore. That play gets called. You can't put your hands on the guy.
Corey's right. We don't even see the ball.
You don't even see the ball in that shot. Where's the ball at?
If the ball was on the other side of the field, it wouldn't have mattered. You can't do that in today's NFL. You know,
using the sideline as an extra defender, that's something that.
But you can't keep putting your hands on it.
Matt, they've played 19 games. They've had 5 pass interference calls in those 19 games.
Doesn't matter.
They are a disciplined team, especially in the secondary. That right there is a bad call, in my opinion.
I don't think you can put your hands on them like that. You can't. You pretty much push them out.
You want to say
he played the sideline? That's fine.
He did, yeah.
But in today's NFL, that's a pass interference call. If you want to go, like we say, a catch, if you want to go by the rule, nothing's really a catch anymore unless you fully come down with it, you know.
I've been seeing defensive backs make that, use the sideline to their advantage and that route. He outplayed him. He outcovered him in that play. That was excellent coverage right there.
You need to keep pushing. You can't put your hands all over him like that. I don't know. I'm looking by what the rule is and what they call nowadays.
And then you don't even see the ball in that play. Because the ball is thrown. They were trying to throw the ball away.
But if he throws the ball to the opposite side of the field, it doesn't matter. I'm just looking at what are the rules today. Like, I think what it catches is ridiculous nowadays.
Okay, but if he throws the ball to the other side of the field, that's not a spot foul. That's like a, 5 yards in the first down or whatever. That's a spot foul. Pass interference was a spot foul, and the ball wasn't in the screen right there. So it's like, what is that?
But if you commit pass interference on any side of the field, it doesn't matter where the ball is.
No, you have to be targeting that wide receiver.
I don't know. I don't see it in today's NFL. I don't see the outrage on it.
I'm all for it. That was a bad call right there.
So I got a text from my Jaguars fan friend, and here are his 3 questions. He was at the game yesterday. Here are his questions that he had.
Well, he went to New England.
Didn't he
just get married?
He just got married.
Did he take his wife with him?
He took his wife with him.
Well, that's nice.
Yes.
Honeymoon.
Honeymoon with the Crafts.
Yeah.
So here are his 3 questions that he goes, what was the deal with this? Number 1, the A.J. Boye pass interference we just talked about.
That was not a pass interference, in my opinion.
Number 2, the delay of game, let the play out, then they call the delay of game. To me, I think it was just a whistle in the stadium no one heard. For me, delay of game, it was very well clear it happened.
And that was right before that, a little bit before that, right?
No, the Jaguars that had the delay of game.
Yeah, when was that delay game?
I don't remember now.
I believe that delay game was a little bit before that pass interference.
But to be fair, it was a delay game. It wasn't like it wasn't a delay game.
Yeah, okay,
game.
I get that. But that's when I say you have to be perfect to play to beat New England.
Absolutely.
You have to be perfect.
Now, here's the 3rd one, which you had a point, which I didn't even realize it as I was watching the game. Maybe I didn't have the sound up loud enough. On the Miles Jack fumble recovery from Deion Lewis, was Miles Jack touchdown?
I don't have to remember that. Play.
So I didn't remember. I didn't remember it being a thing either yesterday. So I brought up the video here.
Make it bigger. Pause.
Yes, sir. You guys take a look at it. So here it is. We saw Deion Lewis get the fumble. Miles Jack picks it up and starts running. They call it a fumble and he's touched down. Miles Jack's all pumped up and whatever. Says first down. Fine. So I saw this, and when I saw the replay, I was looking like, all right.
He wasn't touched.
Was he out?
The only way I can look at it is maybe it was like simultaneous, like he's throwing.
I agree.
So now
you've got to watch the replay, and I had never watched it from this angle. Like, this is what I was looking for. So the ball is out now, and he has it.
You can,
is he? Does his leg hit him? I don't know. Now I don't know. And here you rob them, like, okay, when does he have possession? Now. Does his foot hit him?
He might have. Deion Lewis' foot might have hit him right there. This is a tough call right here.
What's the problem? Like, didn't he spike the ball?
No, he ran running.
They blew the whistle. That's why you spiked the ball. That's why he threw the ball there.
So now I don't know if Deion Lewis touched him or not.
I don't. To me, that looked simultaneous. Look, that was a close play.
Does his leg touch him here? I don't No.
It looks like him. I don't know.
I don't know.
To me, it would look like, say, like you're going for a catch.
Yeah. Right.
And I understand the Patriots fans will say, well, look at you with the opportunities you had that you blew down the stretch of that game. Okay, I get that. But those are momentum-changing plays, particularly that pass interference call.
I think we're looking for the conspiracy theory with the Patriots and the NFL.
I buy into it.
You know. I'm not looking for the conspiracy theory. I'm just asking if they got it wrong. No,
I think most people are.
Okay.
I'm not singling out any
No problem. I'm just asking if he got it wrong here. He also asked me about the Jalen Ramsey pass interference, and I actually have no idea what he's talking about with that one. So there you go. All right, more on the way next here at Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
With you on Roto Experts. Course is now set. Patriots and Eagles rematch of 04, where it was McNabb, Andy, Terrell Owens, Greg Lewis, and friends. Deuce Staley's probably on that team. Brian Westbrook.
Andy Reid.
Against
Chip Kelly. Wait a minute, hold right quick. Yes. Chip Kelly tried to gut that franchise, and 2 years later, they in the Super Bowl. Shout out to them for that. Fly, Eagle, fly for that.
So you know what they deserve massive amounts of credit for, and I've said this a lot. They had Andy Reid for years. It was time for a change. Everyone agreed with that. So they bring in the opposite, right? They bring in Chip Kelly. They demote Howie Roseman. They never fire Howie Roseman. They demote him. They give Chip Kelly full control. He decimates the organization. And Jeffrey Lurie was smart enough to be like, you know what?
Let's go back to what was working.
I want to go back to what's working. They bring in, re-promote Howie Roseman, which you never see happen. Mm-hmm. Take the guy's job away, give it right back to him. They bring in Andy Reid's top lieutenant mm-hmm. in
More
Doug
less
Peterson.
More than Andy Reid.
They bring in a newer version of Andy Reid. And they say, all right, let's go back to the glory days. Howie, do whatever you need to do. And he got rid of, literally one offseason, got rid of everybody that had anything to do with Chip Kelly, including Nick Foles.
Yeah.
They get rid of everybody you possibly
they
could.
They said, stop running the football side from one sideline to the other sideline. Run up and down, straight
and
north
and
south.
And we're going to take our time. We're not going to run. We're not going to run our defense into the ground because we go three and out constantly.
No, look, the Ronald Darby trade was...
Yeah, that was good.
Howie Roseman's brilliant.
They would desperately needed help in that secondary.
Absolutely.
Getting a guy like Darby. And a guy who... Darby's under control for a couple of years, too. So that was a really good move. Jordan Matthews was never a thing in Buffalo. And, you know, I'm optimistic about the Bills for this draft, but they did make some curious moves.
Listen, they made some... The Eagles... made these trades. You go back to the Bradford trade a couple of years ago where they got the first round pick.
Well, that kind of fell into their lap, though.
Of course it did. And the relationship between Howie Rosen and Rick Spielman pulled the trigger.
But they were good and they were savvy enough to do it and get
exactly.
it done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Chip Kelly seemed like he was sent by like a rival to tear apart the organization,
totally.
Tear the organization down. But they turned it right around 2 years, built it up real fast.
It was like a suicide bomber.
they tore it up real fast and they took it down. And then they built it, you know, they got Roseman and the pieces right back in there, and they built it right back up. So shout out to them for that. I will
real
give them props for that.
Real quick on Chip Kelly, we never talking about him.
Yep. Yeah,
NFL was not his
cup of tea.
He did not belong here. But as a UCLA Bruin fan, I welcome him with open arms. I'm very excited that he's back in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I agree. He fits a lot better in college, clearly. He
was trying to run a college scheme.
Trying to run
NFL.
A college scheme in the NFL. And as we saw with Steve Spurrier, you know, 20 years before that, didn't
he shouldn't
work.
Be. I think some of his stuff works in the NFL.
I agree.
But I don't think he should be the head coach, and he definitely shouldn't be having control over personnel. He definitely shouldn't do that.
But when you
I
have
mean,
that ability.
Eagle team could still have Shady and DeSean Jackson on it.
When you have the ability, right, you come, you take it. Like, if you can demand it, you take it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel you, but nobody should have ever given him that.
Nobody, and I truly believe nobody should have that power, unless your name is Bill Belichick, and you've been eight Super Bowls, you can do whatever you want.
Nick Saban.
What? But it's the same thing. You give Nick Saban control. Last time Nick Saban had control, he wanted Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees.
Might have worked.
It didn't work.
Dante Culpepper won MVP before.
Drew Brees won Super Bowls. Go to the Hall of Fame.
We know how it played out now, but at that time, you know what I'm saying?
But it didn't. He made the wrong call.
He got hurt.
He was wrong.
Yeah, he was wrong. Come on.
No, I'm not saying that he wasn't, but I don't know. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick is the best coaches in football.
Yes. Did you read the article on MMQB last week?
No, what happened?
Jenny Vrentas did an article about the friendship between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, the two best coaches in football.
Oh, okay.
They go very, very far back. Nick Saban worked under Belichick's dad at Navy, and Belichick wound up as the Giants' defensive coordinator, obviously, and then Saban was the offensive coordinator for Jerry Glanville's team, in Houston.
Shout out Jerry Glanville.
I believe in Houston with the Oilers. So. Then there was like a secret meetup between Belichick and Saban just to go over football, like in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
and they were, because they were friends, and back in the day, Jerry Glanville literally said, like, I would have fired him on the spot if I knew this meeting happened between two coaches, whatever.
Yeah.
So they go over their stuff. Eventually, Belichick gets the job in Cleveland. Saban becomes defensive coordinator.
In Cleveland.
Yeah, so I guess he's the defensive coordinator for Glanville. Or he becomes the offensive coordinator, whatever. Saban becomes the coordinator.
I believe he was defensive coordinator.
He was defensive coordinator, right?
I believe.
I had thought, yes, it was. So Saban becomes the defensive coordinator under Belichick in Cleveland. Now, Saban did not want to leave Belichick for the wrong job, right? So they had some success in Cleveland. They get to the playoffs. Defense falls apart, whatever. And basically, both these guys in this article say they never saw players respect coaches like they did a Belichick and a Saban and blah, 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 blah. And obviously Belichick had this like amazing staff full of future head coaches and general managers and whatnot. Saban then goes to Michigan State to be the head coach. Like, that was the job he left for. Obviously Belichick gets fired, becomes the defensive coordinator in New England, then with the Jets, and then ultimately gets the head coaching job with New England. Saban then goes to LSU, then goes to the Dolphins, and said basically it was the hardest thing of his career was to face his best friend, Nick Saban.
Wow, really? That's what it's
like. The hardest four games or whatever it was of his career was facing Nick Saban. And he said if Nick Saban wants to come back to the NFL, which he doesn't think he will, but if he wants to come back, he hopes he wouldn't take a job in the AFC East. Because like, if you play it once every 4 years, it's whatever.
Yeah.
But
playing him twice a year,
it was the hardest thing ever.
Yeah, you kind of forget Saban in Miami. Remember that? But look, to coach LSU, coach Bama, I mean, Michigan State, he did a hell of a job there too. So look, this guy's just, they are the two best. I just can't see Saban. Saban's got to, like, get $150 million to leave Bama now.
Yeah, it's got to be like Jerry Jones give you half of the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? That's like, okay, I'm coming. But if not that, you know, then
you get the team in the AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. If not, you're just comfortable being the president of the state of Alabama. Not the best state.
You know what's crazy, Nick Saban? When he was a Michigan State head coach from 1995 to 1999, you know who one of his players were?
I'm trying to think back in that era.
Oh, you don't have to go back that far. Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates played for Nick Saban.
Wow.
Played at Michigan. I don't know if he played for Nick Saban. He played at Michigan State. Yeah. Played basketball.
Probably played for Tom Izzo.
when Nick Saban was the head coach of Michigan State, which I thought was wild.
That is wild.
Nick Saban could have used him as a tight end.
Sure could have. So there you go. The Nick Saban, Bill Belichick friendship remains.
Yeah, it's
championship coaches.
Yeah, no, these are, you know, great minds. And Belichick's dad and stuff, you know, where he – just the whole thing. I mean, and look, you got to give Belichick credit. Remember he was taking the Jet job and he was like, nah.
He wrote it on a napkin. I resign as HC of NYJ. That was it.
That was the best move that man ever made, though.
Best move the man ever made. By the way, upset alert. Zero arrests last night after the NFC Championship game for Philadelphia. Zero arrests of the fans.
What?
Not one.
Wow. They must.
They were like, "How are we gonna arrest these people? They're wearing dog masks."
They must have. They must have been lenient last night because I know they did stuff worthy of getting arrested. They didn't arrest nobody.
I think even like the police force and the mayor and all that, they were shocked the Eagles won. So they're like, "You know what? Have fun." Yeah, as long as nobody dies,
they definitely gave a couple mulligans, and I'm surprised to see because you know how they normally tear the city up. I mean, I'm quite sure it was public urination and all kind of stuff like that going on.
Whatever.
Yeah, public urination.
That's what
you're gonna... Oh, it just happens. It happens. It happens. You will go.
That's when you
got to
fill your quota.
There you go. Do not urinate on the street on the 28th through the 31st.
As noted by several people, the Eagles open as the biggest Super Bowl underdogs since 2009.
Good.
I'm shocked it wasn't over seven. At least 7.5.
I agree.
Last night before I looked at it, I guessed it would be 5.5.
Yes, you had it right. I guessed it would be 7.5.
I thought it would be like nine. That's what I thought.
Philadelphia is a 5.5-point underdog versus the Patriots, according to the Westgate. Philadelphia is the largest Super Bowl underdog since the Cardinals were 7-point underdogs to the Steelers back in 2009.
I'm just going to look at it as Tom Brady, the GOAT, versus Nick Foles. And you're going to tell me you're going to give me less than a touchdown.
Last two times Patriots have won the Super Bowl, they won by 4 and they won by 6.
Yeah, the Patriots don't really blow teams out, though. That's the thing. And so they don't really blow teams out.
But last year, Matt Ryan was the quarterback, and that offense was, like, incredible. Look, if Carson Wentz would have been the quarterback, and you want to go, like, 3 points, I get that. But I don't know.
I don't have
I think all of a sudden we're buying Nick Foles.
Oh, I'm not buying anything. I'm not buying anything.
Well, if you bet the Eagles, you are buying Nick Foles.
I'm buying that defense. I'm buying that defense, and I'm buying the coaching. What I see with the way they're scheming it and coaching it, the way that defense is playing, I'm buying that, not necessarily Nick Foles. Obviously, it makes it much difficult with TB12 on the other side. You know what I'm saying? And not Case Keenum. But I'll buy the defense. I'll buy the coaching. You know, because, you know, they're doing a good job with that. You got Andy Reid, Peterson. Reid always coached well against Bill Belichick. So I'll buy that. And I'm not going to say it.
I don't know. As of right now, if I get 5, I think I'm willing to put $1,000 on the Patriots.
Okay.
All right.
That's how confident I feel.
But you'll buy the half a point to get to 5.
Yeah. So, it cost me $1,200 instead of $1,100.
Sure. Makes sense. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I got stuff from today in history I want to get into. I also wanted to have a discussion with you, which we had off the air, Matt, about Frank Reich and this preparation for Philadelphia, because he deserves credit. I think Nathaniel Hackett actually deserves credit in Jacksonville, too. So I want to talk about Doug Marrone. I want to talk about Frank Reich. I want to talk about all these Bills. So we'll do it when we return. It's the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, of course. Let's give some love out, huh?
Is that big baller in the background or something they were saying?
I don't think so.
That's the Nelly joint.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. For a decade ago.
More, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Let's give out some love. Because as great as Nick Foles was yesterday, the game plan by Doug Peterson... And really, Frank Reich has been amazing. And Matt Modica has said it for weeks. He just doesn't understand why Frank Reich from the University of Maryland...
Fear the turtle.
...has not gotten head coaching consideration anywhere. Because no matter the quarterback, as Corey said, both Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, career-long backup quarterbacks, they prepare you well. And they prepare the scheme well and the game plan well. And that's exactly what has happened here in the last 2 weeks for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Frank Reich drew up a tremendous game plan yesterday.
And somehow DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach, is like jumping ahead of him.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm a little baffled here. I think if you want to look at the playoffs and how, look, you look at the regular season, how efficient Wentz was before the injury, what he was able to do, you know, 30 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, third down efficiency. And then for Foles, you know, some highs and lows before the playoffs. But look, underdog twice, got the victory, taking him to the Super Bowl. I think this guy deserves some love. And if I'm Arizona, I'm like flying him down. And I want an interview with him.
Let's also not forget, guys, this Eagles team not only lost Carson Wentz, their starting quarterback, they lost their starting left tackle, Jason Peters, too.
Yeah, Jason Peters was going off this team, too. He got injured earlier in the season.
Whose
so.
Birthday it is today.
Oh, congratulations. Shout out to Jason Peters. Happy birthday, JP. I'm sure you're having a good time. All the checks in the mail. You don't need nothing from me, though. Well-coached is the way to describe what the Philadelphia Eagles were able to do throughout the course of the season. You know, whether it's Peterson and the whole team out there, they did an excellent job getting Wentz prepared and ready to go, coaching up that defense. That defense has been terrible for the past few years now. So now they got that defense rolling right. So impressed. Like I said, I'm impressed with the Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff. That's it.
And, but listen, let's stick with the offense. Wentz went down. Ertz went down. What's his name? Steps right in.
Trey Burton.
Burton steps right in. Nelson Aguilar becomes a thing.
Jordan Matthews gets traded. Nelson Aguilar becomes a thing.
You know, they never hesitated. They were on. They were saying Aguilar's our guy, yep, in camp and all that. I didn't believe it. You know, I had to see it. I had to see it again and again. But Nelson Aguilar, he delivered. They were, you know, you really, like Corey said, the coaching staff on both sides of the ball, what they were able to do. You go upstairs to Roseman, give him props. Peterson, you know, very, you know, this is how you want to see an organization run.
So they're doing a good job right now. And like I said, it looked like Chip Kelly tried to implode the joint from the inside. And they were able to fix it up, put the chairs back in place, and get it moved together and get it put together real quickly. They saw an excellent opportunity this year. and they took advantage of it. So fly, Eagle, fly. You give them props for that. That's it. It's the coaching staff. Is what I'm impressed with. I'm not
Absolutely.
Impressed with anything else.
Well, you can be. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed with the coaching staff. I'm impressed with the young quarterback that got hurt. Nothing else impresses me. I'm not impressed by the fan base at all. The fan base, I despise the fan base.
Obviously.
Was Noah wearing a dog mask yesterday?
No, he was not. hey.
Good for that, man. That's a cool rallying cry. Nobody believes us. Nothing wear a dog mask all the way to the Super
Bowl. I like
it.
It's cool.
But
I know how those people are. I don't trust those Philadelphia Eagle fans. Is Judy an Eagle fan?
No, she's a Seahawk fan,
but she was rooting heavily for the Eagles yesterday.
Oh, Judy's a Seahawk fan. Judy is Greg's girlfriend.
She likes Russell Wilson. She has cold jerseys or t-shirt.
Why?
T-shirt jerseys.
Jerseys.
Because
why does she like Russell? I mean, why does she like the Seahawks?
She listens to Scott in the morning.
She likes Russell Wilson. She first became a football fan when the Seahawks were like good.
Yeah.
Like the first game that she really watched was Richard Sherman going off on Crabtree in the Aaron Andrews interview.
Yeah.
She's like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
So she liked that. She likes Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson's like social media. And
hey, Russell Wilson's a nice guy. Yeah. Okay.
And she's an Eagles fan of Philly.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what she roots for.
So she'll be rooting for the. So you gonna go down there for the? Y'all gonna be that?
No. What? Are you crazy?
I don't blame you.
I don't know. Pay to go to Minnesota or go to Philly?
Not to Minnesota. I'm not taking the woman to Minnesota. To the Super Bowl.
Take her for a cheesesteak, dog. I mean, take that.
When is y'all next European vacation, though? You know what I'm saying? Don't act like it's not out the realm of possibility. When is y'all next European vacation?
No comment.
It's coming soon, man. That's why. No I'm gonna get an email like, Corey. You and Mike blew it. Nah. When is it? When is the next European vacation?
We are, her family, her sister's graduating from college.
Where's sister go to school?
NYU.
Okay.
Sister's graduating from college. So, as a graduation present, her parents are taking us all away on a.
So, this is like May.
It's like Memorial Day weekend, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So, another European vacation is coming.
It's a river cruise.
That's going to be fun.
It'll be nice.
Yeah, no.
With the family.
Yeah.
Not just us. I'm only going to Florida to visit my mother.
When are you going to Florida to visit your mother?
In a month.
Okay.
It'll be it's a very cheap flight.
Florida's right around the corner, really.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Europe, on the other hand.
Round trip. Round trip for under $200.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Great.
JetBlue's a wonderful thing.
It was Delta, actually.
I gotta go to baby shower next month, so.
Oh, well, hopefully it's not on the same day.
No, hopefully it's not on the same day. You're right.
Who's having a baby?
Why are you going to baby shower?
Baby showers, this is interesting now.
This is mad.
Baby showers are a unisex thing now.
Nah, right? See, I don't want that.
It's just like a woman thing.
And I always thought it was too. You feel what I mean? But then
I was always told that I had to help with the gifts.
Yeah, then I get like, like the dude was like, yo, we having this going to be unisex, it's going to be. And I was like, I got to go away for this.
I'm not down for that. That's.
Where is it? D.C.?
No, it's in Atlanta. My cousin, yeah, he's having his first one.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Right. I asked him, like, who's the, your girlfriend? Whatever. He's like, oh, just a lady.
Just a lady.
I'm like, okay, this is like no judgment zone over here.
I'm sure there's not. If someone asks you who the mother of your children are,
I gotta know both of them is good to go. Both of them is good to go. Everybody's well taken care of.
No, they're not just a lady?
Nobody's just a lady.
Okay,
no.
That's very nice. Yeah. That's a good response. All right, on this day in sports history, 1973, George Foreman KOs Joe Frazier in two rounds to become the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, people forget how good Foreman was.
Beat him up pretty bad.
The grill.
Beat him up pretty bad. I believe that ended Joe Frazier's career.
I believe it did as well. 1980.
Now he beat him real bad.
No, I mean, he was, people see old, lovable, big George. No, George was. He will, George was a man.
Yeah, George beat you up.
1980, the PGA Tour begins the senior tour.
All right.
Oh, that's cool.
Nothing.
1981, Bum Phillips becomes the head coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Love you, Bum.
Bum Phillips.
Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace. Father of Wade.
Father of Wade. Well, he's son of Bum.
Son of Bum, yes.
Son of Bum. Son of Bum. 1983, the Houston Rockets become the first team in NBA history to not score in overtime. In a loss to the Portland Trail Blazers, they got outscored in OT 17-0.
Shout out to the Houston Rockets over the weekend. They took down the Golden State Warriors. Very impressive fashion. Both teams at full strength. Houston wins the season series 2-3.
2-3 or 3-2?
I mean, yeah, 3-2. Well, Houston wins the series, the
How
season series, 2-1.
There you go.
Sorry.
And they're in the same conference. Why is this?
Why is it done in January?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy also said the same thing. Like, you play your teams in your conference four times a year.
Right.
Why would you not have the fourth game of these two teams?
And then why
do they have them both before the All-Star break?
Terrible.
Obviously, it's the television schedule. They wanted to debut this Saturday night with a bang.
I have the other two in March. They got to change that. They should be playing.
Next Saturday night's primetime game is Celtics-Warriors.
That'll be great.
Yeah, that'll be great.
1988, Mike Tyson TKOs Larry Holmes.
Ooh, Larry Holmes. I remember that one, too.
Larry Holmes can't keep a good man down.
I remember that one too. Larry Holmes beat Larry Holmes up real bad. Had him in the corner.
Larry Holmes beat up Ali.
Yeah. He had Larry Holmes in the corner. I think that's the one when Lampley was like, Mike Tyson was throwing body shots. Lampley was like, it sounded like he's hitting the bass drum.
And I remember Jerry Cooney, the Great White Hope at the time, when he fought,
You know what's really crazy? Kids now, we're just talking about George Foreman, right? And he's just this lovable old dude on TV that sells grills. That's what Mike Tyson is, right? Mike Tyson is a lovable dude with a hangover. Nobody knows.
They really don't like it. A lot of people don't really know who Mike Tyson is.
Correct.
Like, you could look for some of... Remember, Mike Tyson interviews? Woman asked Mike Tyson the question, and he was like, this is Mike Tyson. This is Mike Tyson speaking, y'all, not me. Mike Tyson was like, you're talking out of turn.
Was it like Robin Roberts did that?
I don't know if it was Robin Roberts or not.
When Robin Roberts came around, Mike Tyson was like, he was just like, I love you. And he just sat there. He was different. He was like,
Robin Roberts, but some woman, I don't know who it was. I don't know who it was, but she was like, asked a question. He's like, you're talking out of turn. And he was like, if I'm talking to you, it's because we're fornicating. Then he asked her, do you want to? Mike Tyson's a scary dude to interview because you say the wrong thing, you'd be in trouble.
I love the Mike Tyson Mitch Blood Green.
Oh, that's classic right there. That's classic right
1989,
there.
1989, the 49ers beat, today, 1989, the 49ers beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Jerry Rice wins the MVP and Bill Walsh then retires.
Yeah, that's the beginning, really, of the
That
Joe
was
Montana.
A great finish. Mm-hmm. It looked like the Bengals had it.
Yep.
Then,
yep.
Chris Collinsworth.
1998, the Minnesota. The Minnesota hockey franchise announces that the new nickname for their new hockey team will be
the Stars.
The Wild.
I was thinking when they moved to
they moved already. Okay. Minnesota Wild.
Would you said 99 or 91?
98.
Okay. I was thinking 91.
Also on this date in 98, Ricky Henderson rejoins the A's for the fourth time. Ricky.
Shout out to Ricky Henderson.
And on this date in 2006, Kobe drops 81.
81 points for Kobe Bryant, who is a Philadelphia Eagle fan.
Who is a Philadelphia Eagle fan, as is Mike Trout. Who is
that's right. Mike Trout also
a Philadelphia Eagle fan. He's like a Philly and said, I want to be a Laker.
How that franchise could have been different indeed. Bradley Cooper was also there, as was Charles Barkley yesterday.
Yeah, Charles Barkley.
Well, I love Charles Barkley.
Was Riley Cooper there?
I don't know. We'll take a break and we'll talk to the all-in kid, Jake Sigley, and wrap up Roto Experts right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here with you on Roto Experts. Final five of the program. Jake Sigley joining us in a few moments. And what was that, Don? Okay, cool. Few moments are up because right now, joining the program, it's the all-in kid, Jake Sigley. What's up, Jakey?
What's going on, Craig?
Not too much, man.
Sorry. Still struggling a little bit.
I got you. It was a big day yesterday. The Super Bowl is set. Patriots and the Eagles. By the way, it was on this day in history, I believe it was 24 years ago, that Robert Kraft officially became the new owner of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it started a legacy once they got Belichick and Brady. Is that what we're going for here?
Well, I just thought not going for anything. It's just interesting. It was 24 years ago today that this Patriots thing began, right? Like 24 years ago, you bring in Bill Parcells, you bring in Pete Carroll, and then Bill Belichick, and the rest is history.
Yeah, it's a tiresome history at this point.
Whatever. You know what? I'm immune to it at this point. It's good for them. Whatever.
Yeah, but that's kind of sticks when you're a Giants fan and you're like, hey, I got to root for the Patriots now.
Definitely. It doesn't stink. What do I care if the Patriots win again? It makes no effect on us, Jake, as Giants fans.
It's tiresome. Like I said, I was rooting for Jacksonville yesterday. I found out during the game, I didn't think I was going to go either way. And then about halfway through the game, I felt that I was like, yeah, man, I kind of want the Jaguars to be in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
It would just been nice. Or I'm sorry. If Tony Romo's talking, it's the Jaguars.
Ugh, I hate people that say Jaguars. The worst. It's the absolute
worst. That was annoying, wasn't it?
Totally. My favorite part of this Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl, because there's not much to be really enjoy, is just how crazy it is that back in 04, Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb, Andy Reid, Greg Lewis, Brian Westbrook, that was the squad against Brady and Belichick. And 14 years later, it's Brady and Belichick still there.
I guess the whole new team and not the amassing of talent that you would expect to be on the other side in comparison. But it's also, you know, if you look at it, that last time when they showed up too, that was Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel. They were both out the door after that season.
That's right. Oh, that was the year. Yeah. You're right. Good point there. Yeah. And it really was since almost 04 that you saw this exuberance of Belichick after winning an AFC Championship game. Like, he was really exuberant.
For about 5 seconds.
Well, and then he saw five more seconds than normal. Yeah,
exactly. You saw his face go right back to normal and like almost regret the fact that he showed human emotion.
Corey was I had to ask you this question because Corey brought it up before. What was with that sleeveless black sweatshirt in the post-game press conference?
I have no idea. I really don't. I don't know what he's doing with that type of stuff. We were going to bring it up during On Target today. I was going to bring up the whole, like, not the sweater. Or a sweatshirt, or whatever it be. I was going to bring up the whole, like, why everybody gives Belichick and Popovich a pass for basically being asshats.
Being rude?
Yeah.
I think it's almost because people find it funny, right? Like, I think that's
why. But that's what I don't get. Right. Why?
That's actually, I guess when you're so successful, it's just like, all right, that's your thing.
See, that's the only thing. It's because they're successful. So many people are just like, oh, that's Belichick. Oh, right. That's Popovich. And 9 out of the other 10 people do it. It's like, man, that guy's a jerk off.
Right, right. But I think what's really interesting with Belichick is if you listen to people that are like around Belichick, to the media, yes, he's absolutely rude and nasty and whatever. But like behind the scenes, when he doesn't have to like be Coach Bill Belichick, people love this dude, right? Like people love Bill Belichick. And the same goes for Greg Popovich. Like you talk to Steve Kerr, who's like Mr. Media. Steve Kerr will swear up and down that Popovich is the nicest guy. And you hear Popovich go off about politics, right? Like, there he's the most gregarious person in the world. But when it comes to basketball, like in-game and stuff, it's so stoic and angry and rude.
So you think they're just doing it on purpose?
I do.
Like wrestlers?
I do. Yeah. It's a show.
They're kayfabe?
Kayfabe.
Yeah. Fabe?
Yeah, I think it's a show. I think kayfabe is a good word for it, Jake, actually.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
They're actually nice behind the scenes, so they're pulling what I do on the radio.
Maybe something like that. All right, we are done today on Roto Experts. We'll do it all again tomorrow. A lot more baseball and basketball on tomorrow's show. But come up next, Fantasy Frenzy, who will break down yesterday's conference championship games for Corey Parson and Jake Seeley. And of course, Matt Modica, the host of the three hosts of the Frenzy. For Donnie Burns and Chris Venture downstairs, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your day. We will see you tomorrow.